ask your attention to the Gospel as recorded by John chapter 6, verse 37. The Gospel is recorded by John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a very many encouraging words in this holy book. Cannot be more blessed than this word is to the Lord's dear people, because it speaks of a sacred security and of a comfort, the consolation that they shall enjoy. There is in this 37th verse as deep and gracious doctrines of which the Church believes rests upon. One such doctrine is the doctrine of divine sovereignty and the doctrine of election. Because the text speaks of a people, and it speaks of them in the comprehensive view of them in this thought that the Father giveth me. Of course, it is doctrines which are despised. They are despised for one reason. That is, there is no hand of the flesh to be found in them. That's why people despise these doctrines. Because they cannot get to themselves glory by them, because they cannot either influence anything respecting salvation. This word is a word precious to God's people. It is a word which confirms their eternal security. And it confirms what Christ said later on in this Gospel: no man can pluck them from my Father's hand. They are bedrock truths. They are foundation stones upon which the Church has ever been built and established. They are truths, as all truths were, that flow from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are directed to a people, and that is for their consolation and comfort. And none can miscarry. And nothing can overcome this word. There's not a devil in hell that has the power to bring this word to naught. And neither is there any unbelieving spirit in man, and neither is there any unregenerate character who can alter the truth that stands in this word, which is the foundation and comfort of hope, of real religion, of spiritual experience, and of glory at last. Now, the word speaks then in this comprehensive way: all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. When Israel left Goshen and travelled in the wilderness to Canaan, it was said of them, not a hoof shall be left behind. And it is more so spoken of the blessed company that's found here: not a hoof shall be left behind. And it matters not, I mean that in this respect, a careless matters not, of course. That is not what we mean. But it matters not how deep they go into the world, how broad is the pathway that they walk, how as far from God they can seem to go, unheeded or unchecked, if they and this people, amongst this people, have found those such characters, they are given unto Christ, and they shall never be lost. Some of you may carry on your spirit a soul or souls. It may be that as you've gone along the way that you've been called to pray for their soul, that they may come under a gracious teaching of the Spirit of Truth. And that what has happened, they seem to gone further into the world and further away from the truth that you desire for them to go and to know. But if the Lord has laid their souls upon your spirit to pray for, and if you can gain the mercy seat through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you find some comfort and relief being able to pray for such characters, then it may be that the Lord has laid them there. And they may be as prodigals, they may have turned from the truth, they may have gone from the truth, they may have resisted the truth, as all unregenerate characters do. But, my friends, they cannot roam as far from God as they shall be out of this world. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And what lengths of sin they have entered into, or depths of iniquity they have taken hold of, my friends, it will come to pass in due time, according to this word and according to the purposes and will of God, that such that are Christ shall be brought to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, in the book we have some encouraging words, and this word comes to my mind. Against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, to quail, to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. It's, my friends, just confirming what is in this text, that those who are Christ's are saved. Those that are Christ are secure in that covenant which is ordered in all things and sure. What they do in unregeneracy will never bring a difference to this text, never change the true meaning of this text, but they shall in due course be brought under the Holy Spirit's teaching and leading. Now, who are these then? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They are poor sinners, every one of them, destitute of grace as they are born into this world. Their names are recorded in heaven. They are Christ's. In eternity past, if you can believe this, if you can believe this truth, my friends, because it is essential that we may be brought to believe it, in eternity past, the Father gave this people to Christ. And he gave them to Christ because he laid his eternal love upon them. And that eternal love was given not under merits, not under anything future that would come, that would commend it, but was given in love willingly to them. They were chosen while they were as yet not called. And in due time, this people shall be called by invincible grace. My friends, there's nothing can resist invincible grace. There is nothing can resist the work of the Holy Ghost within one's soul. Fight against it, you may hate the doctrines of election and sovereignty. Turn away from the Lord's house, you may be left to do so my friends, but the power of the Spirit is an eternal power, and it is to the quickening of dead souls into divine life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, they needed a redemption. They don't know they need a redemption no more than you and I knew that we needed a redemption. But when God, by the Spirit, charges home to the conscience their sinnership, they will need a Saviour. My friends, there's nothing more simple and there's nothing more profound in that statement. The Holy Spirit has charged sin to the conscience before we shall ever know a need of a Saviour. You'll never want to be found amongst the people of God till you know you're lost. You will never need His precious blood that cleanses from all sin till you know the contamination, affliction, and dreadfulness of sin within. And you'll never know a need of one who stood between in garments dyed in blood till you find yourself condemned by the broken law. Wherever this people are on the face of the earth, they are safe. They are eternally safe. They may mock the truth. They may turn from it. They may resist it. They may have a religion that is no more than duty. They may only come to chapel because they were brought up to do so. But the time will come when they shall come to me, come to Christ. That's not free will, that's the drawings of His love, and that's free grace working in the heart. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The book of the Revelation speaks of the people of God as a number that no man can number. And not one shall be left out. But it is found in this little word, all. Everyone is black, everyone is sinful, everyone is fallen, everyone is of the seed of Abraham, Adam, and all are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Some go to great lengths in their rebellious state, and some do not. Some sit under the sound of the truth all the days of their life and walk what would seem to be a morally upright life, and others go into the world and act like the world and speak like the world. But there's a power here, my friends, and there's a promise here that shall be performed on all such characters are found in this text, wherever they are and whatever they've done. And they may be like Saul of Tarsus, they may be like Lydia in the Acts of the Apostles. They may be like the jailer, and they may be like you and I. All that the Father giveth me. Now, this is the purpose, and this is the cause upon which the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world to save sinners. And all this, all that is spoken of here, was in his heart to say, all. And that is why he took upon himself the body like our own. That is why he laid aside his eternal glory, that he should come and save his people from their sins. This is the people whom he laid his life down for. This is the people whom he groaned and sighed and wept for in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, because in his heart they lay. And their redemption, their salvation, their eternal home rested upon the sacrifice of himself upon a tree at Calvary. And this is why he died. He entered into this world to give himself willingly as a sacrifice for this people's sins and their iniquity, and thus deliver them from a just hell. and from the condemnation that is due to them as sinners. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, then we must speak of the work of the Holy Ghost. As you know, in the closing chapters of this Gospel, before he went to suffering, he spoke much of the work of the Holy Ghost. He speaks like this, that he has prayed the Father that he would give another Comforter. Now, the work of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is that they shall be the subjects of a new birth. The necessity of a new birth, he must be born again. You know the old story of George Whitfield. He kept preaching that text. And when somebody said, why do you keep preaching that text? He said, because you must be born again. This people are to be born into this world. And this people that is in this text are to be called out of this world. And they shall see by divine grace what they can't see by their natural wisdom, and that is the depraved state of this world, that it's a place of sin and wickedness and evil, and they also are the subjects of this sin and evil, because they were born in sin and shaken in iniquity. With all their religious upbringing, or perhaps with all their worldly upbringing, they are to know now by the Holy Spirit's teaching in the heart and upon the Spirit that they are separate from God because of our sinners. My friend, there's no work like the work of the Holy Ghost. It is an effectual work, and it is to this purpose that they shall be convinced of sin and led to Jesus' blood. That is the work of the Spirit. My friend, there's nothing more simple to say that, but there's nothing more profound to know that. That is the experience of these people. They shall be convinced of sin, and no one shall ever need a Saviour until thou know thou lost, until thou feel thou lost. No one shall ever need one to plead their cause in heaven's high courts above, until they know they've no cause to plead on their own, and no merits to plead on their own either. They are justly condemned by their sin and by the sense of the holiness of a holy God in glory. The work of the Spirit, my friends, I say it again, is blessed because it's effectual. You know, there's been many a religious revival that ebbs and flows like the tide. And there's been many a person who has taken up with religion, who has gone back to sin and iniquity. But not so with this people. There is never a going back. There is often a temptation, and there's many a temptation. You know, the Israelites, when they travelled their 40 years in the wilderness, were rebellious. They said, in effect, let us go back to Egypt and to the pleasures of Egypt. But that wasn't a spiritual walk and pathway. This is a spiritual walk and pathway, and there can never be any going back. The disciples on the day of the resurrection was found in their own employment, and the Lord Jesus Christ delivered them forever from it. They were brought followers, believers, and preachers of righteousness. There is but one way. Once the Holy Spirit is pleased to quicken such their souls into life, there is only one way, and that's the glory. It's a path of tribulation, within and without. My friends, you've never had tribulation till you have soul trouble. You've never known true distress till you know what it is to be a sinner. These are the characters taught by the Spirit, revealed by the Spirit, my friends, that are ruined and lost, and they come under condemnation, and justly so. And there's no hope. My friends, I can't build on anything of the flesh. I dare say on the comforts of the Scriptures of truth that there's any building, strengthening, or encouragement found only and until the Holy Spirit is pleased to come to reveal and to apply. My friends, you must know what it is to be lost before you know what it is to be found. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and they shall never go to perdition, and they shall never make shipwreck, and they shall never be found lost at last. They shall be found in the way everlasting. Their pathway will be devil-tempted pathway. They will have opposed to them all the powers of hell, and Satan himself will labor hard to bring them into distress or to bring them away from this blessed truth that's found here. But the work of the Spirit is this: he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you, and the Holy Spirit will show these dear people this sad and distressed, trouble cast down, dark people of God. He shall begin to show them the things of Jesus Christ. And in the showing of the things of Jesus Christ, there will be a raising up of hope that he who came into the world to save sinners will be their Saviour and their Deliverer. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's one of God's shells, my friends, and it's immutable, and it cannot fail. This word shall come to me. How will they come? There's a lovely hymn we don't sing because we haven't got it in our book, but it's long been a favourite really with mine. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. That's how you'll come. This is not evangelical free will. This is the drawing of the Holy Ghost, and you'll come just as you are. My friends, with all that rent garment of self-righteousness, you'll come just as you are, as a poor, needy, destitute, feelingly destitute, sinner before the Lord. You'll come as those dear characters in the Gospels, as we have those conditions, afflictions, and burdens that were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no lessening of the affliction or of the burden or of the trouble. You'll come just as you are. Regeneration will see to that, my friends. And you'll come because you'll have to come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He shall call, is what the psalmist said. He shall call, and I will answer. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, it may be too, and I've got to say this, my friends, that the Lord's dear people shall trace the footsteps that brought them unto this blessed person. You know, I've often quoted from the 37th Psalm, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. That's not the good man by nature. That's the goodness in man is grace in the soul. That's what's good. There is only one goodness, and that comes from heaven, but it's conveyed by the Spirit. It's not in nature. It's in the new man of grace what's good. Now, there are footsteps, and those include the footsteps of providence and the footsteps of grace. They are pathways of which are united by divine decree and can never be separated. And it's a wonderful thing when you can take a moment, and the Holy Spirit is able to, and does give you that ability to trace the footsteps that brought you under this teaching and under this gracious leading. You didn't come by chance, as some would call it. You didn't just happen to be. In the book of Ruth is that lovely description of the handmaiden of the Lord, Ruth. She, her hat was to light upon the field of Boaz. Her hat. It didn't just happen. It wasn't out of coincidence. It wasn't, shall I turn to the right or shall I turn to the left? There was a leading, and there was a guiding, there was a directing, and there was a purpose. My friends, this is what we must never lose sight of. When God deals with the sinner, there's a purpose. And that purpose is to be revealed. It doesn't come first day, first month, first year. But there's a purpose in all what the Lord does. And he directs their footsteps. He brings them where he will have them to be. And eventually under the sound of the truth. My friends, it's all the my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, and keep my conscience clear. Have you ever wondered at the footsteps? Have you ever took a moment of time to consider the footsteps that you walked? Have you ever been led to ponder and to look back over the way and see the direction the Lord has led you? I was going to say unconsciously so, that you've been led, unaware as you were, that the Lord was leading you in this direction. But my friends, he has purposes of love, purposes of mercy to your soul. If you're in this text, amongst this all that the Father giveth me, they shall be a people that are directed and led of the Lord into the times and places and seasons of refreshing for your soul. You know, we can quote hymns like, why was I made to hear his voice? And enter wildest room, and while thousands make that wretched choice, and now they're starved and come. I love that hymn in our book, is it 956? Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy sins. And there's a verse in that hymn that says this: why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are seated on his face. Raise thy downcast eyes and see. Numbers do his throne surround. They were sinners once like thee, but a full salvation found. Now a few more words on this, of the footsteps of the people of God. We use the illustration of in the book of Ruth, she was a Moabitess. She was not amongst the people of God by nation, but she was amongst the people of God by calling and by the leadings of the Spirit. She was unlike the people of God, she said. She was, as it were, but a stranger. She was not one of God's national people, but she was led, drew out the Gentile church, my friends, not the Jewish church, but the Gentile church. And as of course you know, the scriptures confirm that she was in the line of Christ, in the line of Christ. What a wonderful appointment, what a wonderful leading. Unawares, unknown to Ruth, she was in the line of Christ. And her hat was to light upon the field belonging unto Boaz. It happened because the Lord determined that it would happen. You know, there's got to be, there's a great mercy, and I hope, thank for this, if we're born into a family that fears the Lord. But on the other hand, my friends, consider the mercy and consider the blessing when there should be those brought amongst us in the house of the Lord who were not brought up under the sound of the truth, but were led and directed and found amongst God's people by the footsteps that they were called to walk. In the Song of Solomon, there is a word there for the seeking ones. And this will be the evidence of life in the soul. this is what you will pray for. This is what will be, in essence, what goes on in the spirit of such characters in our text. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's neck. In this work of grace, and in this leading in the footsteps of the flock, there will be found in the heart a deep exercise as to the true fellowship of the Church of Christ. Numbered with them, may I be now and through eternity. There's a hymn that's got this word in it. Lord, in thy house I reap this room. Adventuring heart, behold I come. But tell me, can there be amongst thy children room for me? When the Lord taught me these truths in early days, it was in an opposite way. And I came to know what was really a solemn fear that came upon me. And it was found in these words. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come, to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? I love to meet among them now before thy gracious feet to bow, O vilest of them all. But can I bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out, where thou but then shalt call? No, it will be formed in your heart a desire to be found where the Lord's people are, in his house and in glory at night. And it will be a true exercise and a cause of much anxiety to know where you stand in these eternal certainties. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Their footsteps will be appointed, their footsteps will be led, directed in that one direction. And then you'll prove this, my friends, and it will be as only grace will make it known to you, not natural affection, but spiritual affection. There will be a people whom you can dwell amongst and live with and die with and go to glory with. That is what Ruth the Moabitess was found. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee of me. There is something, my friends, which perhaps often is not mentioned, but grace brings no separation. Grace brings no separation to the Church of Christ. And whether they are in the way along season, taught, led, directed, blessed by the Spirit, whether they are seeking after righteousness, desiring to know interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there will be formed in those hearts that true exercise of that feels a union to the people of God and to them only. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The Lord is pleased to direct the footsteps of the people of God to the time of blessing. There is no hindrance to the blessings of the Lord to his people. Nothing can hinder them. All are certain, all are appointed. And the day of blessing, we spoke, was it a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I can't remember. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the Lord appoints such days for his people. As sure as he has appointed their natural birth, the day of their natural birth, as sure as he has appointed the day of their spiritual birth, so the teaching and leading and blessing of their souls are appointed times. They are called to wait for it, but it shall come. It will not tarry. It will be certain, my friends. It is found in this text. Those certainties, those shells, of which the Lord decrees and appoints for his people. The day of blessing. The day of your birth was appointed. You have no hand in that. The day of your spiritual birth was appointed, and you had no hand in that. The day of revelation to your soul is appointed, and he'll come. And he'll come though it be at midnight, and though it be at the darkest times of the night, or the darkest times of the spiritual night, he'll come, and it'll be like the Son of Righteousness that shall arise with healing in his wings. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But then they will come because they've been drawn. None come except the Father draws. No, never mind what this business that so many seem to enjoy, to put about, and falsely so also because it's got the hand of flesh mingled with it. They'll talk about this giving one to Christ and this taking up with Christ and coming because Christ loves you and all such things as that. My friends, if you and I to be established in the truth is this, that none come except the Father draw. Now, there was two things that can be seen very clearly in these people that came unto Christ in the days of his flesh. One of them was affliction, or bereavement, or sorrow. That in itself did not bring them unto Christ. That in itself. My friend, there's enough bereavements, sadness, affliction, trouble in the world, and it doesn't bring the world to Christ. But what brings them to Christ with these things is that they were drawn by the Spirit unto Christ. And they were so led of the Spirit they could see and believe that having gained the presence of Christ and enabled to present their affliction and their trouble and their concern to him, he could deal with it and did deal with it. My friends, there are two things that bring sinners to Christ. Indeed, their sin will do so. But my friends, not in itself will it do so. Rather the opposite. But it is as the drawing of the Spirit will be known. There will be an attraction. There will be a need. There will be a work goes on within your soul for this purpose, that they shall come to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What impossible situations, my friends, is taught by the Spirit. No, if we just dealt with that worst affliction that we all have, the affliction of sin, and when he lays it with weight and burden upon one's conscience, when you're caused to mourn over sin, when you pray as the publican did, God be merciful to me, a sinner. My friends, where can you take this complaint? Where can you lay this burden down, my friends? But blessed be God, in his own beloved Son, he has made a way where sinners are welcome to come. You know, an appointed time is arrived at under the gracious leading of the Spirit. There is an ordering of these things. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, my friends, this is a most blessed and sacred word this morning. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I do love this about it too, that my friends, old nature in its sinful fallen state will ever resist, will ever turn away, and will never have a desire to come. My friends, there's nothing in old nature that will bring you to Christ. Nothing at all. It's the leading, direction, teaching, drawing, revealing of the Spirit. I said in my petitions, I believe it was of that man who brought his son to Christ, and he said that they could not heal him. My friends, and neither will you find a remedy outside of Christ for sin. It's a great mercy too, you know, if you can see in him and brought to believe in him that he can and does deal with sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Do you know this word is as true today as it was when Christ spoke it? 2,000 years nearly has passed over this word, and it's as true today. And sinners who are taught of grace could give the agreement to that statement. My friends, what he said when here on earth is being walked out and being experienced and being known and shall be when he comes again. And then this world of sin and woe will be burnt up. Bill, we must leave it there as the time has gone. Well, may you and I be coming sinners. You know whether you are, my friends. I don't say that lightly. You know whether you are or not. You know whether you've been brought all south and unto Christ. You know whether you had your heart and affection moved by him as being the remedy to the malady. And you know this when you gain a little access at the mercy seat, you gained it because of him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. One last word, my friend, this last sentence of this text. Now that should encourage somebody if the Lord would have laid upon them. If he should speak that in power to your soul, you know, none are too black. In that couple of verses I read out of the Song of Solomon, Christ said to the bride, O thou fairest among women. What did the bride say? I am black. She wasn't, my friends, black in the eyes of Christ. And there's not a sinner that's sensible of his sin that is too far off or too black to come under that promise. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Notices this week are as follows. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach next Lord's Day. The amount collected from the building fund box at the door for October was £105.20. Singer last hymn 1088. Shepherd divine, how once relieved in this our evil day, to all of thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray. Long as our fiery trials last, long as the cross we bear, O let our souls on thee be cast in never ceasing prayer. Hymn 1088. Shepherd divine, how once relieved in this our evil day, to all of thy tempted followers give the power to trust and pray.
rest on thy word, that we might have, Lord, in our souls confirmations, tokens for good. Thy forgiveness, grant for anything that's been said of us. Bring us later together, Lord, in this sanctuary, and be with us. Be with us through this day, give strength sufficient, and grace sufficient. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide with us each, both now and forever. Amen.